This is Maryland Viewpoints, an in-depth discussion of the events and issues impacting our state. Now, from the studios of the Maryland News Network, this is Maryland Viewpoints with Meredith Marks.
Welcome to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we are chatting with on-site supervisor of the Children's Home, Mr. Mike Coleman. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Meredith. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. So, established in 1863 as an orphanage for children abandoned due to the Civil War, the Children's Home proudly celebrates a legacy of caring for Maryland's at-risk children and youth, both inside and outside the family structure. Its programs and services have continued to evolve to meet the needs of the community. And the Children's Home is now recognized as one of Maryland's premier providers of short and long-term residential treatment care for Maryland youth ages 13 to 21 who are victims of abuse, neglect, abandonment, or family crisis and may be in need of structured and supervised care. You know, born and raised here, Mike, I gotta say, I never really knew about the Children's Home. Can you tell me how you got involved with them?
Sure. And that's actually really common. A lot of people who even live in the community where we are placed have no idea that we're there or what we do. They drive past it every day on Bloomsbury Avenue, but they don't really know what happens, you know, inside those buildings. And so it's interesting to find out how many people have lived around it their whole life and really don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. I actually went to school at UMBC, so just a few minutes away from there from my undergrad. And I was studying financial economics to work on Wall Street and looking for something to do. I ended up getting involved with an at-risk kids program from Baltimore City, ended up changing my major from economics to social work, which is obviously quite a change. And I was looking for something to do for work in the community. I found the Children's Home probably through Google or something at the time and got involved with them about 14 or 15 years ago and never looked back. I've been heavily involved ever since and had the privilege of working at this point in all the buildings, all shifts with both the male and female residents. And I've had a lot of fun watching them grow over the years.
Wow. That's great that you've been with them for so long. And it's amazing how you just kind of stumbled upon them and then were able to grow this career with them and stay with them. That's awesome. That's awesome.
It.
So tell me a little bit more about, for people that are just tuning in and don't know anything about the Children's Home, and besides what I've shared, tell me a little bit more about the Children's Home.
You know, I think people probably really have no idea what it even means. When you hear the Children's Home, they probably know that we take kids in. They, I would imagine, don't really know that much about the kids that we serve other than what you see on the news or on TV. But really, we have the same kids that are being raised in the community around us. Those are the kids that live with us, too. They look the same. They act the same. They talk the same. The difference is that for whatever reason, they can't be with their biological families. And so they come to us for, you know, either a few weeks or a few months or in some cases, quite a number of years. And we've had a number of kids that have literally grown up with us for most of their childhood. And so I think what people need to know is our kids need the same love and opportunities and respect and chances that everyone else needs, and in some cases more so because they've missed out on what a lot of our own kids take for granted. And so we work every day to provide what has not been provided elsewhere for kids that have come from very challenging circumstances.
So give me an idea of what exactly that looks like. I know that you take kids in starting at what, age 13?
Yes.
Okay. And they're usually victims of abuse, neglect, or abandonment, or some sort of issue within the family. Does this mean that it's not just, you know, mom and dad that are not able to care for them? This means extended family as well. That's why you are the place to go to?
Absolutely. So certainly the priority whenever a child cannot remain with their biological parents is to try to put them with their families or, you know, some sort of extended family when possible. But when that's not an option, you know, then they come to us. And in some cases, it's true. Some of our kids have involvement with the juvenile justice system. They have gotten into some trouble in some cases. But as you can imagine, many times that trouble didn't start with them just wanting to be bad kids or make bad decisions. They were already in challenging circumstances. And that led to some other choices that has gotten them, you know, kind of on the wrong side of the tracks at times. And so, you know, they come to us when either their families can't take care of them or their decisions have placed them in the system for whatever reason. And our goal is to hopefully minimize their involvement with the system and get them back into a stable, loving family, whether it's biological or otherwise.
So I know that I'm a mom of twin 13-year-old girls. And so just thinking about this obviously breaks my heart because I couldn't even imagine. When you talk about kids coming in, you know, to receive the same love and care, sometimes this, you know, especially this day and age, when you talk about like the school system and teachers can't go so far and you're not supposed to hug somebody else's kid. When these kids come into the children's home, I mean, are you allowed to hug them and give them that love and support that they so crucially need in these teenage years?
Honestly, no, not quite like that because of all the, you know, the reasons you just stated. We have to be careful, of course, with, you know, boundaries. And a lot of our kids, as you may have known from reading up, some of them have actually been involved in either sexual abuse situations. Some of them come from trafficking situations. So our kids come with a lot of trauma and baggage. Where we as staff members and supervisors and the volunteers that are involved have to be very careful not to trigger some of those past issues. So unfortunately, there is some distance, even from kids that really could use that tender, loving care, for lack of a better term. But we do have to be very careful not to actually make whatever situation they're in even worse, and also, you know, protect ourselves and the kids that we serve.
So it's more than 80% of the youth in your care have experienced childhood trauma that can lead to stress, disorders, depression, anxiety, antisocial behavior, and other mental wellness issues. Many are victims of human trafficking. That right there is just mind-boggling, Mike, because, you know, kudos to you guys for assisting these kids and getting them out of this trafficking situation. But how do you find them?
So they come to us, you know, because we're so known in the community. Agencies know that we're there, that we have beds available, that we open up whenever possible. And so we can get a new resident literally at any hour of the day. We have a shelter program. Kids can be dropped off in the middle of the night when they're rescued from these situations or picked up, you know, from their families, and they can be dropped off with whatever few belongings they have. And we wake up the next morning to a new resident in one of the buildings. So, you know, we are very much a 24/7 operation, and we try to be available whenever we're needed.
Talk to me about those first steps when that happens, that child comes in and clearly damage has been done. What's the tiptoe, you know, around the situation like? How do you deal with that?
You know, you've no idea what you're getting until the child is there. And of course, sometimes there's very limited information provided, either because it's not known or just isn't shared. And so it's very much a, you know, kind of a tenuous situation at the beginning. Try to get to know them, show them, you know, that we do care, that we are there for them. My approach, whenever I'm meeting anyone for the first time, I only work now one weekend a month because I live out of state. But you know, when I'm down there, a lot of times I'm meeting new kids every time I'm back on the schedule. And so my goal, and I think I can speak for the rest of the staff that I work with, is just to show them that, you know, we are there for them. We understand that they have a complicated history. There's a lot that we don't know. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that and don't try to let them think that we're assuming really to know anything about them, because every kid is so unique and individual in what brought them to our door. And unfortunately, sometimes they come in with a lot of anger because they don't always know they're coming to us until the last minute, either because of a court decision or, you know, whatever circumstances happen. It can be a very sudden, abrupt thing, which would be traumatic for anyone. So we're dealing with a lot of very raw emotions in those first few days.
What else is involved in crisis intervention treatment?
So we take an approach that kind of matches the behavior, right? So we use what's called SDM, which is safe crisis management. And of course, I don't know what a lot of people's perceptions of the kind of facilities are, but, you know, we have kids that do sometimes get escalated, do sometimes get, I don't even want to say violent, because violent is maybe too strong of a word, but they do get physical in how they respond to things, and we have to respond accordingly. And we place a very strong emphasis on de-escalation, verbal techniques. You know, we very, very rarely go hands-on unless it's absolutely needed for the child's safety or the safety of others. But we really place a strong emphasis on trying to, A, avoid the crisis to begin with, but then when it does happen, understanding and training our staff well to know how to approach that and address it in a way that doesn't make it any worse than it needs to be, and also helps the kid work through that, because the way to avoid that happening in the future is to process what happened in those moments, why it happened, and really try to give them the tools and skills to approach that situation differently the next time.
So without crisis intervention, treatment, and care, youth experiencing a disruption in their lives are more likely to struggle to succeed as mature, responsible adults. Do you have some success stories that you can share?
Absolutely. In fact, just this morning, I received a text from one of our former residents. He is, I think, in his early 20s now, maybe even a couple years older, but I would say early 20s. And he was with us for a couple of years. He and I had a really good bond while he was on campus. We've stayed in touch since. And he's gone through some very, very rough times since leaving us. Multiple moves out of state and really, really struggled. And he texted me this morning and said, "Mr. Mike, I have wonderful news." 6 o'clock this morning, I got the text message. "I have wonderful news. I just got my first real job. I'm going to be making great money. I just went through 7 weeks of training and I'm really excited to get started." And, you know, I woke up to that this morning and it made my day, because unfortunately that's not everyone's outcome, but we really, that's our goal for everyone, is that they leave our care and can sustain themselves and support their families in the future. And he's now going to be able to do that. And there's a couple more. We have one down in law school in Florida right now, making his way. He's actually been homeless at times while in law school, but has figured it out and is in his second year of school right now, doing his best. And we have another one who left our care, came back to speak at the event last year that we're going to be talking about shortly at FACES. And he's made a career for himself in sales, and now he's in construction. And if you talk to him, you would never even imagine the background and the experience that he had to bring him to us, because he's truly a success story in every way.
I have tears in my eyes right now. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, I've kudos to the people at the children's home for helping these kids. We are going to take a short break. Maryland Viewpoints will continue after this.
If you have uninsured auto fines you owe to the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration, please listen. The Fine Fix program can help eliminate 80% of your fines. 80%. Through a partnership between the MVA and Maryland Auto, Fine Fix helps Maryland drivers get rid of their uninsured auto fines, get back in good standing, and get the insurance they need. To see if you are eligible, visit finefix.maryland.gov. The FindFix program ends soon, so don't wait. Visit finefix.maryland.gov.
As a small farm owner, you may believe a homeowner's insurance policy provides adequate coverage. But if you have a barn or outbuilding, farm equipment, or livestock, your policy may not be enough. Country Choice from Nationwide is designed to protect smaller farms like yours. Nationwide protects farms of all sizes, from small to very large. To learn more, visit nationwide.com/protectmyfarm. Products are underwritten by Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
So, Lisa, do you always leave your stereo on, even when you're not there to listen to it?
What stereo?
The one you left on in the other room.
Oh, that one. I was going to turn it off, actually, but I got distracted. I mean, come on. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days.
Hang on. You're just repeating the lyrics to Hannah Montana's song.
Nobody's perfect. Okay, I'm turning it off.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
Welcome back to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks. We've been speaking to Mike Coleman of the Children's Home, and I got to tell you, I got choked up on that last segment. It's such a great, great feeling to hear you talk about some of these kids that have become successful after such a traumatic experience and how the children's home has changed them. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, those are the stories we live for every day. And there's a broad spectrum of success. And, you know, I've been in touch with a number of our kids since. And, you know, we try to keep in touch through Facebook and text messages. And the struggle doesn't end when they leave us. You know, I would never say we've ever quote unquote fixed anybody, but we do try to give them the tools and the values and the opportunities to see that there's more to life than what perhaps they've experienced up to their time with us. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that honestly keep me going every day.
So if you're just joining us, it's a 501c3 organization. The Children's Home operates from its 44-acre campus in Catonsville. With support from the community, the nonprofit provides a comprehensive program of academic support, recreation, therapeutic counseling, arts and culture, and life skills to give each child the opportunity to become a happy and productive citizen, which is what everybody deserves. Every child deserves the opportunity to become a happy and productive citizen. I want to emphasize how important that is. And some of your biggest programs include art, equestrian, that's cool, family engagement funds, summer workforce programs, tutoring, and mentoring. And so you have different programs, right? You have short-term residential, you have long-term residential. And then are there kids that can come to you guys that don't necessarily live at the campus? They just come in, you know, for daily therapy or, you know, activities?
No, all of our residents and clients that we serve actually live with us. The Children's Home does have a separate treatment foster care program where they're, of course, serving the kids in their foster families. And some of our residents will end up going into that program when we can put them into an adoptive or foster placement. But as far as the rest of our kids, they live with us 24/7.
Now, that program you were talking about serves boys and girls, and that starts at the age of 3, right?
Right.
Wow. 3 to 18. And that's in a structured treatment foster home within the community. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So ways that people can support the Children's Home is to go to their upcoming signature event. It's Faces 2019, Friday, November 1st from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Grand Lodge of Maryland in Cockeysville. And this is your premier fundraising event. How did you come up with Faces?
So we started this a number of years ago. I'm actually not sure how many years they've been doing it. I got involved probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And the purpose of this event and the reason it's called Faces is really to put a face to our kids, right? Mm-hmm. And we have different themes every year, but the overall, the mission, of course, is to raise money. Our programs, everything that we do for these kids, unfortunately, does come at a price. And the more funding we have, the better opportunities we can provide, the more we can do throughout the year. So there are opportunities all year long to support our various programs. There's a summer camp drive to help with the summer camp program. People help pay for trips. And, you know, we have activity money that the kids get every week for activities. But Faces, the event that we have every fall, is truly my favorite day of the year. I'm fortunate to sit on the planning committee for that. Every year, the theme is a little bit different, but the mission is the same, and that is to get as many people from the community out, all of our regular donors, people that have not heard of us before but want to learn more about it, come out, have an amazing time, delicious food, drinks, and, of course, the silent and live auctions, to raise as much as we can for our ongoing programs. This is our biggest fundraiser. It's where we get the bulk of donations for our funding for the year, so it's super important. And it's a chance to support those programs that you mentioned, like the equestrian therapy program that we've seen great success with, the trips that we go on. When I come down for the weekend, whatever building I happen to be working in, they have what's called cottage cash. And that's the money that goes toward that weekend's activities. And so it might be the movies. It might be, you know, going out to eat. It could be going skating, which is one of their favorite things to do. Last year, we had a big drive at Faces for a new van, which was successful. We actually purchased a new vehicle right after to take the kids on activities. And so it's just an amazing event. The energy is awesome. And it's a really fun time that I really encourage people to come out to.
So it's intended to raise over $50,000 to help sustain quality programs and services for at-risk children, youth, and their families. And so it's greatest expectations. That's the theme for this year. It's a casual dress, and you can have gourmet cuisine from Chef's Expressions, complemented by craft beer and wine, dancing to live music, which is always fun, raffle drawings, a wine and spirits pool. What is a wine and spirits pool?
So it's basically a raffle to try to get the best bottle of booze that might be in there. So you pay for the chance to pick a bottle and see what you get.
Nice. That's fun. That's fun. And decorating mirrors made and donated by Maker Practice Arts and Crafts Store for the at-risk children and youth living at the children's home. The highlight is bidding in the silent and live auctions on photography and canvas artwork created by the children's home residents. That's awesome, along with other special items. So a lot of your kids, you know, you have these arts and crafts programs. Talk about that. They go and they do these arts and crafts programs, and then they can paint something, and then people can bid on them and buy them.
Yeah, so we have local artists that come in, and they work with our kids, the ones that are interested, to create artwork that kind of speaks to them. It really varies, because it's actually a very nice reflection of each kid's experience. So what they decide to put on the paper or whatever it is that they're doing really is individual and unique to that particular resident, which is why it's one of my favorite things. I have a stack of artwork in my house that I'm still looking for places to put it up. But every year I leave with a number of those pieces, because, you know, it's just nice to have that constant reminder of why we work hard up here every day. And I think that's what a lot of people find when they take that artwork home with them, is it's kind of an ongoing reminder of what's out there and what they can be doing to improve the community.
Because that's what they're there for. That's, you know, you're taking home a piece of what you're supporting and helping these kids. So that's just amazing. Faces 2019. Again, it's Friday, November 1st, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Grand Lodge of Maryland in Cockeysville. You can go to bidpal.net/faces2019, or you can call 410-744-7310. Thechildrenshome.net, I wanted to put out your website. Thechildrenshome.net has opportunities for you to volunteer. You can go and fill out a form and be a part of helping out with this great organization, and see what they're all about on thechildrenshome.net. And, you know, what else, what other, you know, events do you guys have coming up that you can tell me about?
So this is the big one for the fall. In the spring, we have a 5K, which is a really fun, it's usually on a Saturday, really fun event to come out and walk to raise money for the home. Last year, I don't know if we're going to be doing it next year, but in the past, we've had kind of a pup parade where people could bring their dogs out onto campus and have some food and interact with the staff. And I think some residents were there as well. I don't know if we'll be doing that next year or not, but the big one is this one. And if you can't make it, you can always go online and donate or find a way to, you know, participate, because we really do need help all year round. So anything people can do is appreciated.
And businesses can make large donations, correct? And they can, you know, have their businesses published in your print work, correct?
Absolutely. There's no limit to the amount of check we will accept. So anything people want to write, up to millions, we'll gladly take it. And we make sure to give great exposure to our sponsors. So, you know, if you're interested in a sponsorship opportunity, we'll make sure you have the brochure for the kind of publicity and exposure you can get, of course, based on level. And it includes usually tickets and a lot of different opportunities at the event to be heard. So we definitely offer those opportunities as well.
I got to tell you, Mike, I've been enlightened today. I've loved learning all about the children's home, and I'm excited to find out more and see how I can help and have my kids get involved. I think it's a great thing that you're doing in Catonsville, and I just wanted to say thank you for all of your hard work. I know that it takes a village to raise a child. I have two of them, like I said, and so clearly the children's home is quite the village to raise all of those children. So, and give them the tools that they need to be those productive, mature adults. That's awesome. So thank you so much to Mike Coleman of the Children's Home. Again, you can go to thechildrenshome.net, and it's Faces 2019 at the Grand Lodge in Cockeysville on Friday, November 1st, 6 to 10 p.m., 410-744-7310. This is Maryland Viewpoints, a presentation of the Maryland News Network, heard on radio stations across Maryland. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of radio station ownership, management, or advertisers. Join me again next time for Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks.